it can be tough to find ourselves in a tough spot. And it's even tougher when we find ourselves in a tough spot because it's of our own making. We can feel it's awful unfair when we're in a tough spot because of somebody else's mistake. And it's somehow or another that, you know, that just really doesn't seem right. But it's still easier than being in a tough spot because you did something wrong. Because usually it doesn't just affect you. It affects those closest to you as well. That's kind of the story, the backdrop behind the book of Lamentations. And as we look at that today, I feel that I need to say out here at the front end, just kind of put that little disclaimer on there, that little fine print stamped on the side of the carton that says, not every problem is because you made a mistake. Not every difficult circumstance you face is because you did something wrong. So please understand, I'm telling the story of Lamentations, which is about people that messed up, of which at one time or another, we all have. And unfortunately, we probably will again. So I'm only addressing the story of Lamentations. I'm not trying to tell anyone that anything they're facing is because they did something wrong. If you think you did, then fine. This is your story. Don't apply this to everything. It's not intended to. But I feel it's good for us sometimes to go places that we don't go very often. So I thought it'd be good for us to consider what it's like when we are in dire circumstances of our own making. And within that, we're taking a look at Lamentations chapter 5, where we see that they put themselves in a jam. Lamentations is called the mournful postscript to the book of Jeremiah, where they are grieving about the fate of Jerusalem because of their sin. The message is very clear that sin, though very alluring and has a degree of excitement, comes with a very heavy weight, a very high price of sorrow, grief, misery, and pain. It is within that that we can see that the book is written after Jerusalem has fallen, before Jeremiah goes down to Egypt. And why is that significant? Because Jeremiah is looking at the devastation of Jerusalem. Now, the Babylonian army had come up to wage war with Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem being a city with a nice big gate, locked everybody in and everything's fine. Babylon laid siege against the city. And so for months and years, they were basically going to starve the people out. They'd taken care of the water issue that they had their well inside the city walls. Water wasn't a problem, food was. It got so bad that mothers were eating their children. Idolatry became rampant because paranoia was the mood of the day. And so that these people in Jerusalem were crying out to any and every god to see if somehow or another they could be delivered from the mess they'd gotten themselves into. But we see that these people, while they were doing this, were calling out because they had disobeyed God. Eventually, the walls were breached. The Babylonian army came into the city. And as it did, they desecrated the temple and they destroyed the city as they laid it to dust. What was once a proud capital, now laid in ruin. And it was their fault. Sin had forced God to give them what they deserved. It is within this, then, that we can see that they chose the path of disobedience rather than the path of obedience, and thereby God's blessing. You see, what the nation of Judah did at this time was they forgot to give God his due. It's so interesting to know that the nation of Judah, as they were living there, very shortly before all of this terrible destruction, were pretty smug, pretty prosperous, pretty much going about their lives thinking, we've got a relationship with God, so we're better than all those cruddy pagans out there. I'm feeling pretty good about themselves. They had forgotten that God had a special relationship with them. In that special relationship, he had called them into a covenant relationship. And within that covenant relationship described in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you meet the terms of the covenant, you will be blessed. If you fail to meet the requirements of the covenant, you will be the exact opposite of blessed. You see, they were not worse than the people around them. That's part of the reason they were smug. But you see, God did not call them to be better than the people around them. God had called them according to the terms of the covenant. And according to the terms of the covenant, if they obeyed God, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed the covenant, they would be cursed. So here they are experiencing the punishment of God, and that's where we come to what we see here in Lamentations chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And verse 15. Remember, O Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to aliens, our homes to foreigners. We have become orphans and fatherless, our mothers like widows. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. Over in verse 15. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. Now they were feeling hopeless. Helpless. Calling out to God for some kind of break from what they're experiencing. Now, kids, have any of you ever invited a friend over for pizza for dinner? Has anybody ever done that? Okay. Can you imagine you invite a friend over for pizza, and they're going to go home after school with you? And so after school comes, and they're waiting for you to go home. Well, you go ahead and leave, and you go home. Well, that doesn't seem right. You did not give your friend their due. Or kids, how about when you're playing video games in the living room and your mom asks you, says, hey, I'm going to need you to clean this up and take your games out of the living room because some people are coming over and I want the living room clean before they get here. Well, you've just gotten onto a new level, and so you figure you're just going to play it until you get killed on that new level. And that's what happens on these video games, so I'm told. Yeah, I don't have a smartphone, so I don't know this stuff. Okay, anyway, for the point. Kids, you don't get it done. The visitors come, and what just happened? You did not give your mother her due. Well, I think that's the way we can understand how we can relate to these people in the nation of Judah. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that those of us who have believed in Christ have been bought with a price, and the life that we live is no longer ours. It belongs to Him. Colossians 2:13 puts it this way. Give me a second. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. So we've got this picture of what God has given us in our salvation. And so when we mess up, when we make a mistake, when we sin, we haven't given God His due. That is not to say in any way, shape, or form we're the worst person on the planet. No, we can still be smug, though we shouldn't. We can still be smug in our faith. My salvation in God is untouched by my sin because God has already promised us that our sin is removed as far away from us as it can possibly be. Psalm 103 verse 12 tells us it's as far as the east is from the west. And so we know that in this situation, that to sin does not cost us our salvation. But it does cost us something when we don't give God His due. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Our sin, our not giving God His due, breaks fellowship with God. Though we have a special relationship with God, the effect, the enjoyment of that relationship is broken because we haven't given God His due. Now, in thinking about the nation of Judah, obviously they had covenantal responsibilities. Well, we don't have national responsibilities as they did, but we have individual ones. You know, for ourselves, if you've ever found yourself in a situation, you know you have done something that God does not approve of. Then you have separated yourself from Him. He has not separated Himself from you. You have separated yourself from him. And in so doing, you have set yourself up for sorrow, grief, misery that you don't want to hang on to. We should not feel hopeless, because in the midst of that scenario, in the midst of that picture, the one thing that we can cling to more than anything else is God is faithful and true to himself, to his word, to his character. To be any less would make him less than God. That's impossible. God can never be less than who he is. So as we think about God and his faithfulness and his truth, over in Lamentations 5 there in verse 21, it says, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old." We obviously have the picture here, not of the whole nation of Judah. Chapter 5 of Lamentations is presented as a prayer of the faithful remnant and those that are trusting God and his faithfulness, that they will someday be restored. As we're looking at God is faithful and true, God knows us better than we know us. God knows there's going to be times we do not give him his due. There are times that we sin and break fellowship with him. And before we begin to think of God as some kind of ogre that is ready to spank us into submission, because what we have done wrong, that nothing could be farther from the truth. The only reason God disciplines us is because he loves us and wants to get us back onto the path of blessing in our life. What God wants to do for us is to restore us. Wants to bring us back into fellowship with him. Wants us to be trusting him. Wants us to be obeying him, giving him his due, so that we are enjoying our special relationship with him. I mean, you think about what we have in Christ, and it's absolutely incredible. He's brought us into his salvation. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the very presence of himself and his Holy Spirit. He's given us an inheritance that can't even be calculated in terms of what it's worth monetarily, let alone what it's worth spiritually. God has invested so much in us. And he knows the best thing for us to do is give him his due. So as we're looking at that, we've got this verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it require for us to be in fellowship with God? Perfect righteousness. That's the standard. You want to be in a relationship with God, it takes perfection. Any candidates? No. I know you, you know me. There are none. But by faith and trust in him, we are given his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 5:21. He has taken the sin from us and given us his righteousness. It's therein that we can go, wow, this is a great relationship. So as we look at sin, not giving God his due is going to break that relationship. It's going to break the fellowship. And God wants to restore it. He's saying, if you confess, then I will be able to restore you and cleanse you from everything that has interrupted our relationship. God is an amazing God, and it's there that if we give God his due, we will be blessed. And when we don't, we must confess. Because we want the relationship restored. But so does God. This is exactly what he wants too. He wants the relationship restored. He wants us back on track. He wants us on the path of his blessing. When it comes to messing up, God can and he will restore us if we confess. His promises are always true. Father, thank you for an illustration in Scripture. Lord, sometimes we just really hate to face the fact we're imperfect. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't. We say things we shouldn't. We think things we shouldn't. And it separates us from you. May we be sensitive to seeking restoration. Because God, you can restore us. And you will restore us if we confess to you. Lord, thank you for your words. May they encourage our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. As we come to the close of our service today, I hope it is clear to you that God has brought each and every one that has believed in him into a special relationship. And because of that, he wants us to give him his due. If we give him his due, it's good for us. It's blessing in our life. And it shares the truth about him with others. But if we don't, and sometimes we don't, he wants to bring us back to that good place in our life. If anybody has business they need to take care of with God, I would encourage you to do it now. You've got a few quiet moments here that you can do just that. If anyone has on their heart a decision that they would want to make us aware of, you can just get up and come on down here and tell me right now. Perhaps you've never met Jesus. You don't know him as your own Savior. Today is the right time to make that happen. Let us stand. Lord, we rejoice in the goodness that you've brought our way, for the love that is immeasurable, that is unending, for all of the blessings that come because of being in a relationship with you. May it empower us and enable us to withstand all of the calm and all of the storm. For you will never let us go. We can rejoice, Lord, Your desire is always for us to be in close fellowship with you. And you desire that when that fellowship is broken, that it will be restored. May this give us comfort and hope in Christ's name. Amen.